Hey everyone, my name is Joanna. Thanks for checking out this message today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. Here at the River Church, we value connection and community. So please text River Connect to 97000. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we're doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website and click the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can text the amount you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope you're blessed by this message.
Man, well, isn't that awesome, church? Love having those updates. So grateful that our pastor and the team made it there safely. Want to thank you so much for your prayers over the last couple of days and weeks. It has been an exciting time here at the River across many of our locations. This past week, we finished up VBS at our last five locations. And so we had VBS, you know, for us a week ago, and I was talking to Pastor Ryan and some of the team were sharing. We had some incredible numbers across all of our locations, just the Lord being faithful in just trusting us with our community, for them to come out to be loved. And I will say my son, he was convinced that we had a coal mine down that hallway, and so he was super pumped. Rich and Christy just knocked it out of the park back there, and you know, another cool thing that happened this past week, one of our family here, Lieutenant Wendy Reyes, she retired after 37 and a half years serving Oakland County, which is just so grateful for her sacrifice to protect us day in and day out. And this morning, as Haley and I were pulling in, I got a FaceTime from Pastor Caleb. And so he gave me a call this morning and he said, hey, he's like, he was checking in. He's like, how you doing? Did you got your message prepped? I was like, I'm good. And he's like, hey, I just got done preaching, because it's literally a 12-hour difference there. And so this is going to be weird, but so this morning, him and Grant preached at two different churches. One of those buildings we helped build back in 1996. And so Pastor Caleb had the opportunity to go share the gospel there this morning. And then this evening, he preached at a sort of like a youth conference. And so there were 500 students who came out, and they did not have enough room in the inn. And so they rented out a hall down there. They rented out a hall for these 500 students. And Pastor Caleb got to share the gospel to 500 students. They fed them food. And here's the really cool part, is that the hall was paid for and the food was paid for by all of you here at this location. And so he wanted me to pass that on to you, thanking you for giving, for being faithful. We talk about giving, we talk about money, and I know it's like, man, we have to talk about money, but look at what the Lord does through our faithfulness in giving and our worship. And we here in Holly, Michigan, we had the opportunity to pay for a hall and food for those 500 kids to hear the gospel. So thank you for doing that. Thank you, church. Pastor Caleb is so thankful. And please continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for the team as they are down there for safety. I don't know. It was like an 18-hour flight. I said, there's no chance. I go crazy flying to Florida. I can't do it, all right? So be praying for them for safety and that they just continue to be used by the Lord as they are. And so this morning, we are continuing in our series here in Romans, and we are going to be in Romans chapter 5. Last week, Pastor Caleb was reading through, and we read through verses 1 through 11, and so this week we are going to be wrapping up chapter 5 and kind of wrapping up this portion of Paul's letter regarding justification, really looking at Christ's sacrifice and how he paid the price for our sins so that we can stand redeemed and justified before our Heavenly Father. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be there in Romans 5, beginning in verse 12. But I just want to open up in a word of prayer, and then we will continue to dive in it. So Father, we come before you this morning. God, we thank you. Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to come here to worship you, to open your word, to spend time with our brothers and sisters, God, in this place. We thank you for providing it all, Father. We ask that you would just be with us this morning, that your spirit would illuminate your scriptures, God, that you would just speak through me for you, the truth that you have prepared, God. And Father, we thank you for our pastor. We ask that you continue to protect him, continue to use him and the team, and bring them home safely. And we are excited to hear and see what you are doing with our brothers and sisters there in the Philippines, who we have the opportunity to partner with them and support them financially, God. And just would you continue to bless their time there and use them. God, we love you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." And so we're going to stop right there, because the very first word we see here is the word "therefore." And as is often true, as we're reading God's word, we should always pause when we see this literary word, this literary term here in God's word, because what it is doing is this word is pointing back to something we just read previously. And so I do want to take a step back to verse 11 there. And Paul says, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So what verse 11 is Paul is kind of winding down and culminating that passage there in verse 11. He is looking at Jesus, and he is saying, it is through Jesus through whom we are justified. It is through Jesus Christ alone that we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father, right? Why can we rejoice in God? We can rejoice because of what Jesus has done, not because of what a pastor has done or a motivational speaker, because we know, and as we will read in this section, that there is no one who could pay that price. There is no one who can reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. There is no one who can mend the sin and the brokenness that began with this person, Adam, in the beginning in creation. And so therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned. And then Paul continues, he says, "For sin was indeed in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law." And so, taking a look at sin, right? We have this concept of sin, and I want to take a little journey back to the beginning of God's word, and we go back to Genesis, right? Creation. And if we look at Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord has finished separating the heavens and the earth, and he has created all the insects, and I'm not sure what he was thinking about mosquitoes. I don't know if they were there. I do think they were probably part of the fall. But we go back to Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, and we read, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Phishon, and the one that flowed around the whole land, Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good, and onyx and stone are there. The name of the second is Gihon, and it is the one that flowed around the land of Cush. And the third is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth is the Euphrates. And then it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to keep it and to work it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so we see here that the Lord established with Adam, the first created man, that he gave him a law. He said, hey, you can do whatever you want. You can eat of anything. You can enjoy it. I want you to be here and enjoy life, but you shall not eat of this tree. But we know what happened. We know that Adam disobeyed. And in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband Adam, who was there with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And so that phrase there in verse 7, then the eyes of both were opened. What happened here is this is the point. This was the pinnacle of when sin now entered into our world, right? That's in verse 12. Just as sin came into the world through one man, through Adam. And then therefore, because sin has now entered into the perfect creation that the Lord has created and established, death came through sin, just as the Lord warned them would happen, right? You shall surely die. Death is now going to enter into our world because of sin and disobedience. And so because of this, all sin and sin spread to everyone. And in verse 13, Paul continues on this and he says, sin was in the world before the law. And the law that he's referring to here is the law of Moses that was established. The Lord established the Mosaic covenant with Moses to the people of Israel after they have come out of the land of Egypt here, and he has the Ten Commandments. This is the established law. But it's an interesting phrase here. Near the end of verse 13, it says, but sin is not counted where there is no law. And so I want to take just a moment and look in on this. And so I was never a Greek scholar. Truth be told, I skipped that class in Bible college. I apologize. I have a hard time with English. And so I looked up the Greek for the word counted here, and it's pronounced elageo. Elageo. And so elageo is talking about charged to an account. And so when we read it, we read that sin is not charged to the account where there is no law. And so we look at this comparison of Adam and Moses, and we have this time frame where there is no law established. With the Ten Commandments, the law of the Lord has not been established yet. But with Adam, what happened is that, as we read in Genesis chapter 2, is that the Lord looked at Adam and he said, hey, you shall not eat of this tree, right? The Lord established a law, a rule for him to follow. And what happened? Adam disobeyed. Adam sinned. Adam broke the law, and therefore, hey, here we are in 2025, a sinful, broken world because of that first sin of Adam. Well, then we have this time frame between Adam and Moses, because we know with Moses it was set up, right? The law was established through Moses. And so what happens in this in-between time? And so Paul sees this and he's like, I know you might want to debate this. So I'm gonna talk about it. And so a couple weeks ago when we first began our series in Romans 1, Paul writes in Romans 1, 18 through 20, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible natures, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. And so this passage is very important as we read here, because there is no debate. Sometimes some people will want to look at this and they'll say, well, sin is not counted. Sin is not charged against an account. And so Paul is writing and he's saying, no, specifically when we're looking at this time frame, what is happening is that we are seeing that there is still sin. Sin has still entered into our world between Adam and Moses. We look at Cain and Abel, right? Murder. That is sin. Taking a life is sin. And we can go on and on and on through looking at, through God's word. We look at Noah. We look at the flood. We look at all the unrighteousness that was continuing. We look at this sin. But there was a difference when the law of Moses was established, when God's law was established through the Ten Commandments, is that there was not only a spiritual repercussions for their sin, but there were physical repercussions for their sin. If they broke the law, there would have to be different sacrifices they would have to make to atone for their sin. All right. And so what Paul is saying here is, although they did not have maybe those worldly repercussions for their sins, because those sins were not charged to their account, they were not under the law of the Lord. Guess what? They still sinned. They still sinned. And that's exactly where Paul picks up in verse 14. He says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. And so he says, hey, I know there's maybe this exemption that you see, but that exemption does not exist. Yes, you're right. The law was not established during this time frame, but guess what? Before, with Adam and his wife, they suffered. Death has brought in. Sin is into our world at Adam, through the man of Adam. He says, and because of that, what has happened? Death has now reigned from Adam to Moses and continues to reign here today in 2025. Death is what comes because of sin. Not just a physical death, but there's a spiritual death. And this is what Paul is trying to continue to convey and warn the people of, is that this spiritual death that they will incur if they continue to live in their sinful, broken nature. He's saying death will reign. Death will reign over you, right? Because all have sinned. And since all have sinned, death is going to come. And he talks about Adam. And it says that Adam was a type of the one who was to come. And so this word type, it is a, by definition, it is a hermeneutical concept in which a biblical place, person, event, institution, office, or object becomes a pattern by which later persons and places are interpreted due to the unity of events within salvation history. And so we can look through God's word and even in 2 Peter, they comparing the flood to baptism, showing how the flood was a type to come and show what baptism is to look like. But the reality is that baptism is the anti-type to the flood, because baptism is through which we are confessing our faith in Jesus Christ. We are showing outwardly, hey, this is who I believe in, right? That's what baptism is. There's nothing special in that water. Might be some green floaties in there right now, but we'll clean it out if you want to get baptized, all right? There's nothing special in that, but it represents our life change in Christ, whereas the flood was a cleansing that came and wiped out the world because of sin. And so we see these two contrasting things. And so we now have Adam, this man who was created perfect. He was created perfect in the image of God. But what happened is that he was given a rule and he broke it. He disobeyed the Lord. And so because of this one man, Adam, now sin has entered into our world. And now it is through Adam that, man, we are all sinners, that we are all broken, that we all experience this separation from our Heavenly Father. And so in this first half of this passage here in Romans 5, 12 through 21, Paul is establishing the reality of sin. He's establishing that there is no distinction, there's no exception for sin. That because of sin, what is to come is death. There is a real place called hell. It is a real thing that people will really experience if they continue to live in their sinful nature, not seeking, right? Well, we talked about the reconciliation that is only available through Jesus Christ. So establishing sin through the man Adam, but guess what? I love the next word in verse 15, but. We talk about these terrible things. We talk about sin and death, and it's gloomy, it hurts, and it's awful, but it's the reality of it. We have to talk about sin and brokenness, because if there's not sin and brokenness, if there's not a need for reconciliation, if there's not a need to be saved, if there's not a need for redemption, well, then what's the need for Jesus? We need Jesus because we are broken. We are sinful, right? And so we have to establish that nasty thing called sin and that terrible thing called death. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God, the free gift by grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Paul says, but we have the free gift. That's what we've been talking about these last several weeks when we talk about justification, we talk about reconciliation through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus's sacrifice on the cross. It is a free gift that was given to every single person. But the caveat is that we must accept, we must receive, we must believe and have that faith in Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 15, Paul writes, he says, the free gift by the grace of that one man, right? That one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And so that word abounded, man, I did my Greek homework this week, all right? And so the word abounded there, it's pronounced huperpi riseo. Don't ask me to redo it, okay? And so the Greek word there, but what I love about it is that Greek word, it means that his grace does not just abound, it super abounds, it hyper abounds. It does more abounding than any that you could ever fathom or think or comprehend. It abounds more than anyone could ever give in this entire world. And guess what? It abounds over the trespass. It abounds more than the sin and the trespasses and the brokenness in our world. And I love how beautiful that is, that his grace abounds so much for us, not just for those who were alive during Christ's death and resurrection, but his sin, his grace covers and abounds for us here in 2025. And it continues to abound for us each and every day, because that is the free gift of Jesus Christ. That is the gift of Jesus's death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. And so we look at this free gift, right? And I love how I truly believe that Paul is so intentional in saying free gift over and over and over again, because we look at our world. Many of you are in the business world. We go to the stores and, you know, we can't just take things off the shelf, right? If you do, that's stealing and that's a sin, all right? That's what happens. Whether you're a business owner or we go to the store buying groceries, buying whatever you need, there is a price for those things. You have to sacrifice work and time. You have to sacrifice maybe your own wants and desires. You have to maybe sacrifice time with your family, sacrifice for education, right? Ultimately being able to work and get this money and be able to buy that thing or grow your company and pay your employees. There is a sacrifice, there is skin in the game that happens in these transactions. but that abounding grace of Jesus Christ is a free gift. It is a free gift because there is nothing we could ever do, nothing we could ever say, no amount of good works, no amount of tithing or sacrificing your time to serve or giving away to the needy and the poor could ever make you worthy enough to be able to attain and buy that grace of Jesus Christ. It is a free gift that is given to every single person, right? His abounding grace for all. The only thing that we have to do is confess that we are broken, confess that we are sinners, confess that we are just as disobedient as Adam was at creation. And then we say, Lord, I believe. Say, Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that you laid down your life for mine. And I believe that you did victoriously rise from the dead, physically, victoriously. You know, yesterday, Pastor Caleb called me earlier this week while he's in the Philippines, which I tell you what, whenever he goes away, he calls me more than he does when he's here. It's like, stay here a little more. You don't call me as much. And so there was a woman who called, and she had a funeral yesterday for her husband. And it was at the VFW. I loved it. It was so sweet. And she told me that her husband was a big-time hunter. And some of you here in Michigan who are hunters will appreciate this. I was sharing it with one of my buddies, Steve, and they opened up the funeral with the song Fred Bear by Ted Nugent. And if you haven't heard it, if you chunk out 8 minutes to listen to that song, you can. It's a rock and roll song. I tell you what, I've never done a funeral, a celebration of life, opening up with rock and roll to that extent, listening to Fred Bear. But it was a sweet time, and I loved it. Everyone was in camouflage. And I asked the wife, I was like, you want me to wear a suit? She's like, yeah, it's fine. So I'm wearing a suit, and they're all in camouflage. And I went out to my car, I grabbed my camo hat, I put my camo hat on. So I'm in a suit and a camo hat, and I'm just, it was a really sweet time celebrating his life. And I had the privilege to share out of John 14, the gospel of Jesus Christ out of John 14, how Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Thomas asks, he said, Lord, how do we get there? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I share that because as they're sitting there broken and hopeless and hurting and weeping over the loss of a friend, of a brother, of a loved one, I said, look, I know that you're grieving. I know that there's a hole in your life. But there is one person who can fill that. Because that is the reality of what we are dealing with here. That is the reality of what Paul is trying to convey to a lost, broken, hurt, and sinful world, is that there is nothing in this world that can fill that hole. There is nothing in this world that can fill that void except for the one person, except for Jesus Christ. And he is the only one in which we can have hope. He is the only one through which we can be reconciled and through which we experience the free gift and the grace that abounds each and every day. Because guess what? We are still sinners. Some of you got here this morning and you sinned on the way in. Some of you sat down, you may have sinned. We're gonna leave here and guess what? We're gonna sin. Because we are still sinful, broken human beings. However, this is, I love this when we come into verse 18. It says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Even though we are still broken, sinful human beings, every single day of our lives, we are declared justified and righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of the cross, because of his glorious resurrection. We stand justified. We stand righteous before our Heavenly Father. Paul continues, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. And so we talk about this act of obedience, this act of righteousness. And if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is writing, and this is one of my favorite passages of scripture, just 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. If you've never read it, I would encourage you to read it, to be encouraged, but also just the gravity of the position we have as followers of Jesus Christ, the calling that every single one of us have been given to be called his ambassador. Okay, it's not just the pastor's job, it's not just the staff's job or your growth community leader's job to go out and be a representative of Jesus Christ. No, if you have proclaimed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been called to be his representative. You have been given the honor of being his ambassador here on earth. And that is for every single one of you here this morning who have confessed and proclaimed Jesus Christ. Christ is your Lord and Savior. You are in the ministry of reconciliation. You have been called an ambassador. It is your job to continue to share that love, that free gift, and his abounding grace that has taken place in your life with those around you. But going back to 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, it says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And that obedience that Jesus Christ portrayed, the obedience that he took under our Heavenly Father, was taking on our sin. He saw the brokenness of our world. He knew the brokenness of our world through Adam. And the ripple effect of that disobedience that continued on for generations and generations, for years, a ripple effect that forever changed what the Lord had created. And Jesus said, "I'm going to take that sin." And he obediently went to the cross for you and I. Not because he was bored, not because he had nothing better to do. He did that so that we could be mended, we could be reconciled, we can be justified, that we can be seen as righteous before our Creator. And so there's no longer this gap. There's no longer this brokenness. There's no longer this wedge where we cannot go before our Heavenly Father. No, because of Jesus' obedience on the cross, because of one man, because of Jesus, we are reconciled to our Heavenly Father, and we can go to him at any time, any place, anywhere. Paul kind of finishes up here and he says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." There it is again. The Lord's super abounding grace in our lives, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So man, we look at this passage of scripture and it just starts out with sinful brokenness, death. There's nothing further than death. There's nothing more broken than death in our world, right? Because it is that death that will lead to eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. That's what sin brought into our world. But the free gift, but Jesus came down, lived the perfect life, obedient to the Heavenly Father, and he took that sin. He said, I am going to take it. It is mine. Let me take that off of your back. Let me take this brokenness that you're experiencing, this brokenness that you are sitting in, and it is mine. And he gloriously said on the cross that it is finished because the debt had been paid. That debt that started with Adam had finally come to completion and been paid in full through the man, Jesus Christ. And we sit here today, righteous, justified before our Heavenly Father because of Jesus's obedience. Not only have we been forgiven, not only have we been reconciled, right? But we've been given the free gift of eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Man, if you're sitting here this morning or you're listening online, if you are sitting in your brokenness and sin, if you say, man, Pastor, I've messed up too much. I'm so broken. I hate that phrase. I'm too broken for God. That's crazy. There's no one in this world who is too broken for the love of our Heavenly Father, for the grace of our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Man, I want to encourage you. I want to let you know that you are so loved. Yes, we love you here, and I mean that. We do love you. But if you're sitting in that brokenness and you have never accepted the free gift, that free gift that doesn't cost anything, that free gift that you do not have to pay a transaction for, do not leave here today. I love in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is writing and he says, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, as simple and plain as it can be. That Jesus died for our sins. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a broken sinner, and I need you in my life. I love you. I believe in you. Be the Lord of my life. And then what happens is this incredible transformation where we move from death in our sins to alive in Christ. We get to experience the free gift, his hyper, super, abounding, incredible grace in our lives each and every day. While we continue to sin and mess up, guess what? Jesus already paid the price. And you are deemed righteous and reconciled before our Heavenly Father. But if you're here this morning and if you've accepted that free gift, if you have experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to not keep that free gift inside. You know, I looked at this passage of scripture and for me, it is just a clear gospel passage. It is Paul clearly just saying, hey, I'm going to simplify it and break it down as easy as I can. All have sinned because of Adam, beginning of the world. We are fallen, we are broken, sinful, death, separation from the Lord forever. But Jesus sacrificed his life so that we can live, so that we can experience life to the fullest, so that we can experience the grace of our Heavenly Father, that we can have joy, and above all that, we can have eternal life through one man, through Jesus. And so for those of us who stand in his grace, who have accepted that free gift, may we truly live that out each and every day. I want to challenge you to take those opportunities to be his ambassador. Take those opportunities to share his love. Take those opportunities to say, hey, I know you got a hole. It's okay if maybe you've tried filling it with the things of this world. I love you. Let me tell you about the one who loves you so much more. Let me tell you about the one who loves you so much that he died for you and me so that you don't have to experience that hurt and that hole and that brokenness anymore. I want you to know about the man Jesus, who will bring you joy, who brings you hope, who gives you love, and who will mend that brokenness in your life. This morning, we have the sweet opportunity to take communion together. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, and you know, the beautiful thing about communion is it is reminding us of this. It is reminding us of the sacrifice of our Savior. It is reminding us of this free gift. It is reminding us of the abounding grace in which we stand, in which we have been saved through the man, Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said to them, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So therefore, let a person examine himself, and then so eat the bread and drink of the cup." And so what's going to happen is that our ushers went out and they're preparing, they're grabbing the trays, and after I leave, they're going to come forward and they're going to pass out the elements. And I want you to hold on to the elements. The band is going to play a song. And then I'm going to come out and we're going to partake together. But I want you to know this first and foremost, is that first we have an open communion. So you do not have to be a member here. We don't have membership, okay? The one standard that we have in God's word is that you have accepted the free gift. That you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have confessed him the Lord of your life, that you believe in his death and his glorious resurrection. That is the one requirement for communion. And so if that is you, I want to encourage you to take and hold those elements. And I want to encourage you over these next few minutes of this song to reflect, to do a self-reflection. Maybe it's needing to seek repentance from the Lord for some sin. Maybe it's saying, "God, I'm sorry. The things of this world have taken my priority and my eyes off of you. God, help me refocus on you today, this coming week. May I refocus my heart on you." But if you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's okay to let that tray go by. But also, I want to encourage you. I'll be right here off to the side. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let's do it. I would love to walk you through that. I know Pastor Ryan is here, and we have several others in Lanyards. They'd be able to walk you through that as well, walking you through what that free gift is, walking you through that confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray. Our ushers, after the prayer, are going to come forward and pass out those elements. And I want to ask you to just hold on to those, and I'll come back out after the song, and we're going to worship together. So would you pray with me, church? God, we come before you. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. That God, while we stand in sin, while we stand in brokenness that was passed down through Adam's disobedience, Father God, you stepped in. You sent your Son to this lost, hurt, and broken world. I thank you for Jesus's obedience, for his love and care for every single one of us, that he took on our sin and brokenness and made it his so that, Father, we could be reconciled and redeemed to you so that we are no longer seen as broken sinners, but we are justified and we are righteous in your sight. Father, over these next few moments as we reflect, God, may your Spirit move in our lives to see the areas that we are neglecting, the areas that we need to focus more on you, God. Maybe for someone who's listening here or online, God, if they've never accepted you truly as their Lord and Savior, would your Spirit move that today would be the day that they confess you as their Lord, that they confess their need for you, their brokenness, their sin that they are seated in. And would they experience the free gift, the abounding, super abounding grace of your Son, Jesus Christ? God, we love you. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.